Hello, everybody, and welcome to Galactic Yo-Yo. I'm your host, Molly Marsh, and I'm just having my dinner cooked for me. So I thought I would take a moment to record the podcast intro. This is your last podcast before the start of Doctor Who Series 14, Season 1. I'm so excited for these episodes to air and to get some old guests back on, get some new guests in to talk about them. But it's not quite time for that yet. First of all, I thought I'd meet up once again with my old friend and the podcast's old friend, Sarah Garnham. We worked out that this was her 12th appearance on the podcast. And I make no apologies for that. She is my favourite podcast guest in the whole world. Sorry, all the other podcast guests I've had. She beats you all. I love hanging out with Sarah. So I thought I'd kind of do what we did a few months back and look at all of the things we know about the next season, all of the casting announcements, all of the broadcast circumstances, and yeah, talk about what we're excited for, what we're apprehensive about, and unpack some of the announcements we've had. Just like last time, even though she's a huge fan of Doctor Who, Sarah doesn't really keep up with the news about Doctor Who, so I get to drop all the bombshells on her, and she's pretty fucking clueless. So that was entertaining and exciting. It's a bit of a loosey-goosey podcast. We go off on all kinds of tangents once again. But it was fun to record, and I hope it'll be fun to listen to. Next week, you're going to get not one, but two Galactic Yo-Yos, because I'm making separate episodes to talk about the episode Space Babies and also The Devil's Chord. I think that is all of the admin for now. I can't promise that the podcast for the next season will be on schedule or anything. You know what I'm like. But I'm going to try and get them out within just a couple of days of the episodes airing. Anyway, without further ado, please enjoy my loosey-goosey conversation with my friend and yours, Sarah Garnham. Me again. I don't know why I said Garnham like I was Darth Vader in his dying moments just then. Please enjoy my loosey-goosey conversation with my friend and yours, Sarah Garnham.
It seems that I'm some kind of a galactic yo.
Day today, Sarah.
That's good.
Which means that I'm wearing my fanciest and most uncomfortable pair of knickers. you know the day, right?
Yeah, I've got the ones.
It's like I would never choose to wear these. No. Even though they're like objectively a nice pair.
Have they got the lace that cuts in?
Lace. It's cutting right in.
Yeah.
As we speak. But that's okay. How are you, my love?
I'm great. How are you?
Pretty good. This is Sarah Garner, everybody. She's been on Galactic Yo-Yo more times than I can count. Do you know how many times you've been on Galactic Yo-Yo now?
No.
Okay.
Should it's always a it pleasure. Out? Yeah, go on then.
All right. This is your 11th Galactic Yo-Yo appearance.
I was in your... I don't know if you included that, your play.
Shit, yeah, the audio play as well. Episode 100. That's 12. You're definitely my most prolific guest, like no question. I'd have you on every week if I could.
It's my availability speaking.
What you been up to? It's bank holiday weekend.
Been to see my dad.
Oh yeah, how's he doing?
He's great.
Is he a Doctor Who fan?
Absolutely not.
Not in any way?
He used to watch Doctor Who with me every week because I used to go to his house on the weekends.
Right.
And he used to love the David Tennant era.
Right, I see.
Matt Smith, he could not. He was like, "What's going on? I don't understand." Yeah, he couldn't.
Oh,
couldn't
because
get
of
grip.
The storyline. Yeah, it's not because of Matt Smith.
No. It was the arcs and things. He was not buying it.
Sure.
Yeah, and then he sort of
see
slowly
a bit simple.
I think he's.
Is he a bank manager?
He used to be. Yeah.
Yeah, can't be that simple then, I guess.
He's only got one on O level.
Absolutely reading your dad's a filth on the podcast. Okay, so we're here today to talk about what is coming up, because we've got a new Doctor Who on, I keep saying Saturday, but it's Friday night.
Yeah,
because
midnight.
They're coming out at midnight. Yeah. Two episodes coming up. We've got a further five as the weeks go on. Further six as the weeks go on. And we know quite a lot about them compared to...
Some of us do.
Well, some of us do. Yeah, so last time you appeared on this pod, I was like running through all of the news from like the last year of Doctor Who, and you had no idea what was going on.
No.
And that is what is happening, what I hoped would happen again today, because I found it extremely entertaining last time. But yeah, so we've been drip-fed lots of information about them, which is in stark contrast to the Chibnall era, when...
Yeah, I didn't know anything.
It was all cloak and dagger, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, I always know nothing, but always going in blind.
Yeah, so I thought we'd just pick up on some of the talking points about the new series. And
you got notes?
I got notes, yeah.
Wow.
I made them at 6 this morning.
That's unhinged.
I woke up for some reason. And then I went back to sleep for a bit.
Yeah.
And then I reawoke at sort of 8:20.
Nice.
And then I left the house because I have I had therapy locally every other
in
Monday.
In person?
At 8:45 in the morning.
They didn't cancel it for the bank holiday?
No. No.
Wow.
She's Canadian, so she doesn't abide by the UK bank holidays.
She doesn't care.
And I went to see her, and we talked about how I ought to stop looking at Graham Linehan's Twitter every day.
Every day?
Yeah.
I agree.
A bit worrying. Yeah. Okay, right. So, what I wanted to do initially was, we've had the... People are calling it the RTD2 era. Have you heard? You must have heard that.
Yes, I have.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's had 4 episodes so far.
Yes.
The Star Beast, Wild Blue Yonder, The Giggle, and The Church on Ruby Road.
Yeah.
I would like you to rank them in terms of your personal preference.
What are they called again?
The Star Beast, Wild Blue Yonder.
Yeah.
The Giggle, The Church on Ruby Road.
Wild Blue Yonder, I think, is my favourite.
Okay.
Why? It was really scary.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was actually...
It was really fucking good.
That was definitely my favourite of the three, but now I'm kind of... You know when the three came out, mm-hmm. and then I don't really know how the new one compares to the other ones. I can't really remember.
You're being rubbish.
To be honest.
This is a disaster.
Then probably maybe like...
I'm surprised at this from you as well, because there's a famous incident where you came to a party at my house.
Yeah.
And you asked my friend Toby his favourite film.
Yeah.
And he...
Well, I know that one's my favourite.
He was unable to answer, and you like absolutely wrenched him for it, because you said that, you know, he has to have an opinion, and now you're coming up with this sorry show.
Mine's just...
This sorry performance.
Poor memory. Wild Blue Yonder, then I would say The Giggle, then Church on Ruby Road, then Star Beast.
You know what? I was going to give my order, but it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
I think the Star Beast has sort of aged a little bit like a banana, hasn't it? It's
I liked the thing.
The beat the meep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that, I feel like, because we already knew that was happening, it lost some of the appeal straight away.
Yeah, and then there was the transgender shit show.
Yeah. And
which I've still not recovered from.
The bit with the sort of, were they bugs?
Oh, yeah.
That was a bit Star Wars-y. I didn't...
That's a bad thing for you?
No, I just was like, give me something more interesting.
Sure, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the giggle, I feel, but when I first watched the giggle, I didn't know what to make of it. I think because I was a little bit like shell shocked by the whole bi-generation thing.
Yeah.
And the more time's gone on, I don't really give a shit. Like I'm comfortable with that, and yeah. I actually respect the show for doing it.
Yeah.
Because I think it showed such confidence in Chuty Gatwa's
definitely.
Performance that they were able to go, okay, look, he can stand next to everybody's favorite doctor.
Yeah.
And still, at the end of the episode. You want to go with Chuty in the TARDIS?
Yeah, exactly.
Because the risk would have been, oh, the audience is going to want to go with David.
Mm-hmm.
And no one did.
No.
No one wanted to be in that garden with Bonnie Langford and Jacqueline King. But yeah, I think we're going to be returning a little bit to that world in the new series. Like we're getting Bonnie Langford again.
Yes.
And
yeah,
I believe
yeah.
we're getting Yasmin Finney again as Rose Noble.
Yeah.
Which is kind of exciting.
I'd like to see her do a bit more. I feel like she had a bit of an impossible task with the
She was
Starbase.
Carrying a lot of it, wasn't she, in terms yeah. of, like, the social issues.
Yeah.
I'd like to see her kind of just be a character.
Yeah.
Do you follow her on Instagram?
No. I don't follow children on Instagram.
Not to slander yet another woman from Doctor Who on Instagram, but, like, some of the clothing she wears.
Oh, yes. Like,
I don't think of myself as a prude.
Skimpy.
That's one word for it.
And a look.
It's like a handkerchief, some of the dresses that she wears.
Belt.
It's like a belt. Yeah.
I'm going to look this up now. It will be followers, Molly. Oh, here we go. Oh, blimey. Okay. Wowing.
Like, obviously, she always looks incredible.
She looks stunning.
I don't mean to seem like a prude or indeed a slut shamer.
God, I wish that was me.
I mean, me too.
Wish that was me at that age. Not seeming... Blimey. It's like a receipt.
Isn't it like a receipt?
Oh, wowing.
I respect it, though. I respect it big time.
Wowing. I will not be following.
She doesn't seem to have a problem with like getting her nipples out either.
Yeah,
which
love that.
For me, is like a trans girl. Like,
yeah.
The moment I told anyone I was trans, I was like, these nipples are hidden, are now hidden from the world forever.
Yeah, fair.
This
hair.
Do you hate it?
No, I love it.
Yeah, it's a bit sort of like early years Rihanna, isn't it?
Yeah, big fan.
I'm considering, though, doing a little comedy bit about my nipples.
Yeah, go for it.
Shall I run you through it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know the whole female presenting nipples thing on Instagram?
No.
Like you're not allowed to post...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Female presenting nipples.
Yeah.
And there's all questions of, like, what constitutes a female presenting nipple?
Yeah.
And the trouble, like, trans people who are medically transitioning have is, like, when my nipples stop being male presenting nipples and start being female presenting nipples... So I'll talk about this on stage and I'll say to the audience, I've not tried this yet anywhere. I'll say, could you just like check for me whether my nipples are female presenting, right? And then I'll lift up my shirt and either my nipples will have like big comedy eyelashes on them or they'll have like little Sylvanian families frocks underneath. I've not yet worked out the prop elements. Well, I've not done it yet because I'm trying to work out the logistics
That's
of the props
amazing.
Because it really relies on that reveal.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would, you know, it's not funny.
Yeah, it might fall apart.
And it needs to be visible from the audience.
Yeah.
And it needs to hold up to a shirt being over it for some time.
Yeah, okay.
I'm
obsessed with
so
that.
So yeah, we have to sort of workshop that.
Yeah.
I need to like, to be honest, message some of my clown friends about it and see what they would do. Sorry, where were we? Yasmin Finney's nipples, Rose Noble. Oh, sure. Okay. We were ranking them. Yeah. So I thought this would take longer, but I've got the same ranking as you.
Yeah.
Oh, this is what I wanted to pick up on. In the Christmas one, they did a bit of singing.
Yeah.
And the last time, or the time before last that I had you on,
yeah.
we were talking about how they might be singing in the new series.
Yeah.
And you were very much opposed.
Yeah, I'm apprehensive.
How did you feel at Christmas when the singing happened?
I thought it was silly, but the episode was silly, so it kind of worked. This is what
he's
I worry
about.
He's
the Goblin King. He's not a myth, he's a natural thing.
My dad played me a song on from his time on Spotify on Friday night. Yeah. And I was like, did you watch Doctor Who at Christmas? Because this sounds like the Goblin song.
Love it.
Yeah, I liked it because it was silly. The yeah. whole episode was silly. Nothing was that
well, surely that would be the case in the... If and when there's a musical episode.
Well...
They're not going to like... You know, take it. It's not going to take itself seriously. It's not going to be Jesus Christ Superstar, Phantom of the Opera.
You never know.
Rent.
You never know with these Americans.
I suppose so. You're obsessed with the amount of Americans in it as well.
Yeah.
It's still mostly a British production.
Yeah, but
you're still apprehensive. Yeah. You don't seem quite as anti-singing though. You seem to have softened a little bit.
It depends who does the singing. Because if they've hired Jonathan Groff and he's not going to do any singing. Wasted opportunity.
I don't think he is going to do anything.
No, I don't think he is either.
I don't think it's that episode.
Which
I think
is
it's
bizarre.
The Beatles episode that's going to be up singing in it.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be Beatles songs. We'll get to that in a minute.
Is it not?
God,
could
Sarah,
they not
you,
get the rights?
You really fucking...
I see
You don't
pictures,
read any of it, do you?
I see pictures on Instagram every now and again, and that's how I get okay, my so information.
I'm returning here to a question I asked again the last but one time that I had you on. And this was before the David Tennant specials had aired.
Yeah.
And I was asking, did we need to bother doing this? Like, could we have gone... Did it need this soft reboot, this little reset? Or could we have gone straight? Is Duty Got War so magnetic and so popular with the youth that we could have gone straight to Duty Got War? And you were like, oh, I think we needed the Tennant stuff. Now that that's happened, was... doing the whole David Tennant is the 14th Doctor thing worth it, in your view?
I think so, just because of the time. Like...
How do you mean?
Like, how long ago was the last pre-RTD episode of Doctor Who?
2022.
Yeah, that was so long ago.
Oh, yeah, so I guess you're saying that we'd have had to wait until now, since
yeah.
then. Yeah, because actually he was filming Sex Education, wasn't he?
Exactly, yeah. So I think that that was
true.
A nice way around it.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it in terms of the production side of things.
Because people do genuinely forget about things.
People do, don't they?
Like,
but maybe we kind of wanted people to forget about that era of Doctor Who, right?
Maybe, yeah. But no, I think it was worth it.
Okay.
David Tennant, you know.
I mean, it was lovely to see him. And I was actually... I enjoyed him returning more than I thought I would.
Yes,
yeah, so
did I.
Like, oh, whatever, it's David Tennant. Like, it's whatever. He does Big Finish all the time. He's fucking... He's got three seasons of Doctor Who already. Like, it's
yeah.
whatever. But he actually brought something really different, I thought.
Yeah, it
and
wasn't
he played
as
it in a different way.
Cringy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
yeah. He like really played it a different way. It was like a more mature take.
Yeah.
And I got a lot from it. Still not sure, like, forgetting the filming concerns,
yeah.
I'm still not sure that it was, like, necessary to keep
oh,
the brand
yeah.
afloat, but I really liked it, and I think it's going to be interesting as time passes, and, like, you know, in 5 years, I think we'll see that as a really interesting little quirky avenue that the show took.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, it'd be like, oh, yeah, David Tennant did the three, and it'll be like a pub quiz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like
answer
that.
Right
yeah.
It's not gonna be it's gonna be a bit like the McGann movie where it's like, oh, that happened, did it? David Tennant came back in 2023.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pointless David Tennant episodes of Doctor Who answers.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah. No one's saying Wild Blue Yonder.
No. Yeah,
right. Cheetah Gatwell though,
yeah,
has taken over the role, and that's he had a bigger role than we thought he was gonna have in The Giggle.
Yes.
And then he has had his first full episode in The Church on Ruby Road. What do we think of his performance so far?
10 out of 10. No notes.
No notes at all?
No notes.
What's it given you, though? Can you say more? Can you elaborate?
I think he's fun.
Yep.
He's got that, like, bit of mystery about him. I'm liking his style. I like that he's brought a lot of himself to it. Like, I like the accent, I like the clothing choice.
I was going to ask about the accent, because obviously it's just his accent, right?
Yeah.
And it's a really weird accent. It's like a weird hybrid accent. I find it kind of distracting, actually. Like, obviously, maybe it's not okay to say that because it's his accent, but, like, it's so difficult to place.
Yeah.
That I think it's still going to, even in the church on Roby Road, it was like, take a little while for my ears to adjust.
I'm with you.
Did you feel like that?
No, I think
my family members I watched it with were like, what is the voice he's doing? And I had to say that that's his
that's his voice.
Because in Sex Education he does a voice. He's not quite his real voice.
Yeah.
Which is crazy
because of David Tennant. It's like, have you ever heard his voice? Like,
yeah,
it's Scottish.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a little bit like, yeah, it's a little bit half my ears to adjust to, but I think it also suits the Doctor to have
a
bit of a crazy accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like him. I like that he seems to be bringing like a youth to the Doctor, and obviously we've had this before with other incarnations, like the 10th Doctor was quite youthful, even like the 13th Doctor, the 5th Doctor, but like this is like a different kind of youth, like it's kind of edgier and...
Yeah, I think as well it's the first one who's kind of been our age.
That's true, yeah, I guess in terms of like...
Like at the time.
Us, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, true, like he's a peer, he feels like a peer.
Yeah, so...
Which is odd. It's funny, I put the preview clips they've released on the telly last night for my flatmate Hannah.
Yeah.
And she was like, is it just me, or like, does it feel like we're watching like two teenagers, like one of them? And I think part of that's because, you know, we're used to seeing him as Eric.
Yeah.
And that, you know, he's playing a teenager. But yeah, there is a sort of a very genuine down with the kidsness.
Yeah, I think that's why I like it.
Yeah, it's not Steve Buscemi, hey fellow kids, at all. It's like genuinely,
yeah,
you know, you see him in the nightclub in Church on Ruby Road and it makes sense.
You believe it.
You really believe it. But like, it's not, it doesn't, you know, you feel like you can still take him seriously.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like it also, it appeals to, you know, both of us live in London. I feel like it's kind of like more a kind of youthful urban character.
Urban.
Dare I say. But as in like, I can see why some people might struggle if... Like they're my mum.
I put that as the pull quote in the episode. Sarah Garnham, is our urban doctor. Jesus Christ.
Get me cancelled.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean though? Like people from...
Yeah, definitely.
Like...
There's something metropolitan about
rural it. Rural places, are going to be like... I could see why they might struggle, but...
Because they're racist. Is that what you
mean? In the same sort of way that they watch telly and they're like... I don't relate to this at all. Like, why is everything set in London? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because also, like, his queerness as well is clearly, like, coming through in the role and the way he's... Just the way he's performing it. It's, like, super queer, and I love that. And I actually think this Doctor's going to be...
Dr. Woke.
I think he's going to be Dr. Pufter, actually. Right?
You're allowed to say that.
I think I can say that one. I think I can.
Yeah, no,
answers on a postcard, what you guys think at home, but I think I can say Pufter.
I know what you mean, though. Like, it's quite exciting.
I think he's going to get off for Jonathan Groff.
Please.
Don't do that on my sofa. But no, I think they're going to go that way. And it's going to make it all the more tragic that they didn't go that way properly with Jodie Whittaker.
I know. It's because gay men are okay, but gay women are an obscene affront to the BBC.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's cool that like if they're gonna go that way, they're doing it with an actor who also is LGBT, and like, yeah, I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm really excited to see it happen if and when it does happen. He did the singing, was it as bad as you expected? Oh, okay. So we've got a couple of characters who appeared in the church on Ruby Road who were kind of enigmatic. You look worried.
I'm racking my brain.
Have you watched it more than once?
No.
Okay.
Oh, so yeah, actually, no, I did. Okay. I watched it twice.
So there's Mrs. Flood.
Is she the old woman?
The old neighbour, played by Anita Dobson.
Yeah.
Who's she going to be? My favourite thing about that, by the way, is that she's married to Brian May. So Brian May was at the Doctor Who premiere.
Exciting.
Yeah, quite iconic, right?
Yeah.
But yes, Mrs. Flood. So... There's a few theories going around that maybe she's a Time Lord, maybe she's a character we already know. The most compelling theory I've seen is that she is Ruby from the future.
Oh.
Because
okay.
she seemed to know about the TARDIS and
yeah,
she had
yeah,
this
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of what you know, she had a watchful eye over Ruby.
Yeah.
How would you feel if they went that way with the story?
Depends how they do it, really. It could be cringe, it could be great.
Mm.
Also I'm sick
I always
of
love a timey-wimey, like people
I'm sick
their
of water based surnames in Doctor Who.
Yeah, I mean that's the other thing. It's like flood, pond.
Yeah, river.
River. It's a little bit like, but I don't think you'd go there.
No, I hope not.
I don't think so. No. Why do you hope not?
Well, because
I'd like to see River Song again.
I wouldn't.
Would you not?
No.
You don't like her, do you?
No.
Okay.
No.
And there's also an actor, Susan Twist. And she.
It's a great name.
It's a good name, isn't it? So she played. So in Wild Blue Yonder. Right
yeah.
at the start, when we meet Isaac Newton.
Yeah.
And he's got a sort of servant.
Right.
So we see four actors in that episode, right? We get David okay. Tennant, we get Catherine Tate.
Yeah.
Mostly just those two.
Yeah.
Oh, I suppose you get Bernard Cribbins at the end as well. Mm-hmm. But then at the start, the only other two actors in it are Nathaniel What's-His-Face playing...
Absolute Stone Cold Hottie.
Absolute Stone Cold Hottie playing Isaac Newton. And then you've yeah. got Susan Twist as his...
If you say so.
It's true.
Okay.
She's like the first face in the episode.
Right.
Blink and you miss her, though.
Okay.
Then she doesn't appear in the giggle.
Is she the woman in the nightclub?
She is the woman...
Right.
At the gig at the start.
Yeah.
It's not at the club, but it's Ruby's... When you know when Ruby's in the band?
Yeah, I'm with you.
And she's in the club. And they've not just randomly used the actor twice.
No.
So it says the shooting scripts are like online.
Okay, yeah.
On the
BBC,
on
the BBC
like thing.
Script portal, yeah.
Yeah. And there's a stage direction that's like, this is the same woman we've seen playing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And we might see more of her.
That's interesting.
What's that all about? Interesting that he's introduced like two different enigmatic older women.
Love that. All older women are enigmatic.
But I'm excited. Yeah, like, what are your theories there? Have you got any?
No. Okay. I just don't think it's worth speculating. But no, that is exciting. I would love it if it was nothing and she's just fucking random people in every single episode.
She's just fucking random people.
What
do you mean?
Didn't mean it that way.
Series 14 is just an odyssey of Susan Twist's promiscuity.
I you just like it if
she's playing fucking intensifier random
yeah,
people.
Yeah, yeah, she's yeah. just like nothing characters.
Yeah.
In the background, all these Doctor Who.
For like no, she's like Doctor Who's Stan Lee.
Like yeah.
Except she has
like,
no significance.
All the dweebs are losing their minds. Yeah. What could she be? Nothing.
That could be quite funny.
She's earning her check. That's what she's doing.
Shoes on my feet, a bottom.
I'm gonna Google her. What's her history?
Susan Twist. I don't know.
Is
could
she
you tell
a
me actually?
Respectable actress.
I don't know.
She been in things. Susan Twist.
Could you tell me about her?
She was born in Liverpool.
Okay, cool.
Does she even have a Wikipedia page? No, she does not.
Oh, she doesn't. Okay, weird.
All of the things about her are
Doctor Who things.
Oh, there's a article from March that says Coronation Street. This is in the Sun. Coronation Street star Susan Twist has been snapped up by Doctor Who to play a secretive new big bad.
Interesting.
Claiming that she's going to be a villain. She was in Scott and Bailey. She was in Brookside. She was in See No Evil, The Moors Murders. God, she's...
You know, my parents once showed up in a documentary about The Moors Murders. Because they happen right in the corner from me.
I'm going to need to hear more about
this. And they were shooting a documentary about it. Because one of the kids, this is not very funny, one of the kids was snatched at Ashton Market, right?
Oh my God.
And one of the kids was snatched, interestingly, on the night the very first episode of Doctor Who aired. Where was it going? Oh yeah, and they were shooting this documentary in the 90s at Ashton Market.
Right.
Saying, oh, this is where the thing took place.
Yeah.
And my parents walk past in the background. And they spotted themselves on TV like a few months later.
That's so strange.
But yeah, loads of murder shit up and around me. Harold Shipman, like just down the road.
Wow. What do you think it is about that area that inspires
I wouldn't like to say. I think it would upset some people from the area.
That's fair. I have found Susan Twist's agent page.
Okay.
Would you like to know what skills she has? So
it's always like random stuff like horse riding.
So music and dance. She can do ballroom dancing. This has a star next to it, so I feel like that's strong.
Okay, I feel like fine. If
it's
just
and
it's not an asterisk. It's not like they're going to clarify it and be like, oh, you know, just the foxtrot.
No, because I'm looking at accents and dialects. She's got a star next to Liverpool, and she is from Liverpool.
Right. Okay. So fine.
Also jive. Accents, she can do American.
Like she can dance jive or she can speak jive.
She can dance jive. Imagine. Do you want to hear these accents?
Yeah.
American New York, American Southern States,
okay.
American Standard. Bearing in mind the top list of things she's been building, she's never had to do any of these accents on film. Australian.
Well, this is her agent, because this is what they do. Your agent is like,
yeah, well, we'll
do you think you could do that, maybe? And then you get the role and then you work it out later.
Belfast.
Okay.
Birmingham.
Right.
Black Country.
Okay.
Cockney.
Okay.
Dublin. Very specific.
Right.
Edinburgh.
Okay.
Geordie.
Okay.
Irish Southern.
Okay.
Lancashire. Right. Very specific. Liverpool.
Right.
London. Manchester. Then we've got Northern. Then we've got, is this my ignorance speaking? RP.
Received pronunciation.
What's that?
It's like
like the Queen.
BBC, but yeah, right. Queen's English, BBC accent.
Welsh Standard.
Right.
No deviations. Yorkshire.
Okay.
The best bit, however, is the sports that she's listed. I hope that she does all of these in the next season of Doctor Who. We've got badminton, starting off normal. Then, that's got a star, by the way.
Stop it, I'm crying.
Then, bowling.
Like 10-pin. 10-pin bowling.
I would imagine so. Cycling.
Sure, okay.
Then we've got another star.
I can see cycling coming handy in plenty of productions.
Bowling, however.
Bowling, maybe not.
Also, they just cut away to some, and then a professional. Yeah. This one's got a star. Rowing. Wow. Okay. I'm going to skip this because it's alphabetical, but I'm going to skip this one because I think it's funny and I'll leave it to the end.
Okay.
This is also starred. Swimming.
Sure. Okay.
I hope she's swimming in the new season. This one isn't starred. Table tennis.
So she's okay at that.
Yeah. If pushed. And then this one is starred. Tennis.
Oh, okay.
Very confident in tennis, less so with the table. Then we've got yoga, not starred. And then finally, my favourite of the starred, starred skills, scuba diving. Why does she know how to scuba dive?
Oh, God. I feel unwell. I'm laughing so much. Oh, God. I hope she showcases every single one.
Every single, all of the accents as well.
Are there any other skills, like, is horse riding on there?
No.
Oh, it's quite often on there.
That's it. That's all she can offer.
Wow.
She also only speaks English as a language, sadly.
What does it say that her playing age is?
51 to 65.
No way. It always makes me laugh because it's like, 66-year-old? No.
It couldn't be believed.
Could not. You would not believe this woman is 66, but 65?
Yeah.
Totally.
Smashes it.
I suppose you've got to draw the line somewhere, haven't you?
I mean, in the picture that I can see of her, which is this from Doctor Who? Yeah. This one.
That's Wild Blue Yonder, yeah.
She looks about 80 in that.
Yeah, they've aged her up a bit there.
Yeah,
they?
So really.
I think it would make sense if she was a villain And then Anita Dobson's character, Mrs. Flood, is a hero, a heroic character.
That would be nice. They could fight each other. She doesn't have like fighting lists.
Hand-to-hand combat?
Yeah.
Is that what you want to see, Doctor Who? Two elderly women fight each other?
It would be a new twist for the show.
Susan Twist.
There you go.
It's quite cool that her name's Twist, considering that her character is presumably going to be linked to some kind of plot twist.
That he definitely planned it.
Yeah. Okay, I want to ask you about the release strategy, right? So we've got a double bill of episodes 1 and 2.
Yes, that I was vaguely aware of, but yes, now more confidently aware of.
And then they're gonna come out at midnight.
Yeah.
On Saturday morning, so Friday night, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Simultaneously all across the world.
Yeah.
And then they're going to air on BBC One before Eurovision in a double bill.
Yeah.
And then each week we'll get an episode at midnight.
When's Eurovision? The next day?
Later that day.
Okay.
Although we're not watching, are we?
No.
No. And yeah, lots of people complain because they're like, I don't want to have to watch Doctor Who at midnight.
Yeah.
I want to watch Doctor Who like as event television with my family, and I'm going to have to watch at midnight to avoid spoilers now. And
just turn your phone off.
It's shit because it's like we're prioritising the Americans. And what are your thoughts?
I just, like, it is on telly, so yeah, you can just wait till then. You absolute bunch of weirdos. Don't look at Twitter.
I knew this would be your response.
For a few
I get it a little bit.
I do understand because, like,
it does feel nice to be with other fans and, you know, especially if there's like big reveals and stuff.
Like, if you think about The Traitors, the other big BBC show in my eyes, that does so well because everyone's watching it at the same time.
Exactly.
You can't not watch it at that time, or you know that everyone at work's going to be talking about it the next day.
Exactly.
So, like, I'll get in from a night out, it'll be 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'll be like, but first The Traitors before bed.
Yeah.
Because I simply cannot go to work tomorrow without watching it. So
I think I'll end up being like that with Doctor Who. Like, so I'm going to a party Friday night.
Yeah.
Right, it's my friend's birthday due. So I'll probably still be at the party at midnight.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll get home at 1 o'clock. Something like that. I don't know. Maybe later, you know what I'm like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put Doctor Who on. And I'll probably be a little bit drunk. And I can imagine this happening quite regularly. Like,
yeah,
I'll be doing something else on a Friday night, but I won't, knowing that the Doctor Who episodes are out there and available for me to watch,
mm-hmm,
I won't be able to resist putting them on.
Yeah, and I know
maybe
what
I'll
you
watch,
mean.
Maybe I'm more likely then to watch them again later that weekend.
Yeah.
You know, especially, you know, if I watch them on Friday night
and I've had
a few beers and mm-hmm, whatever, then maybe I'll feel more inclined to watch them again on the Saturday or the Sunday.
Yeah.
When I'm in sound mind and able to take it all in properly.
And not to be, and also I want to support like the BBC when I'm watching that, because obviously BBC is always under attack by the right wing.
Yeah, correct,
And I feel like that release strategy means that quite a lot of people will probably instinctively just watch on Disney Plus because it'll
kind of not on Disney Plus though in this country.
Not in this country.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's only abroad.
Don't iPlayer have a bit of a habit of effing up things that they're supposed to put on iPlayer at certain times?
For the listeners at home, I'm shrugging.
It happens.
I don't know about that.
It happens quite often.
I know ITV are really bad for that.
Yeah. I feel like it's happened quite a few times.
I remember it happening with The Traitors once.
Yes.
Everyone was like, where the fuck is the new
Traitors? Where's The Traitors gone?
ITV used to do it with Love Island all the time.
You wait in
like 2 hours for Love Island to appear.
So,
I hope that doesn't happen.
I mean, that it'll be their number one priority, won't it? So
yes, that is true.
And also, it won't be airing. Like, they'll just be surely just clicking a button.
That's good, like, point. Yeah, yeah, you make a good point.
But yeah, I just, like, I don't know. I see both arguments, but also if people are at midnight tweeting away, who are you aiming that at? Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like the people who do potentially, or who will potentially spoil it for other people, are people who don't care about that. Because, like, yeah, why would you be tweeting about it as if everyone else is also going to, like, everyone's going to be on different times.
Yeah.
No one's going to be on exactly the same time as you.
True.
I don't know.
It's going to be interesting. I think the other interesting thing about it is that they're putting out the first two at once.
Yeah.
Which means that an already short season is going to actually only be 7 weeks rather than 8 weeks. There's only 8 episodes, right? Which is the... I guess Flux was shorter, but in terms of like a regular season of Doctor Who, it's the shortest we've had since the revival. Which I'm not going to complain about that, because 8 episodes is quite a normal length for a science fiction series, right? It's it's fine. But I think it would be nice if it were 8 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's...
I don't need the two.
Yeah, I didn't need two at once.
No. Especially if they're not... It's not a two-parter.
Then it's not a two-parter, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's a bit of a ball ache for the podcast, actually, because I've decided to do... Instead of covering both episodes in one podcast, I've decided to do a double bill of podcasts.
Nice.
Which is kind of fun, but it's more work.
Does that mean...
It takes up 2 evenings of my week instead of one.
Does that mean with the double bill that I could immediately watch episode 2 and then go on Twitter and spoil it for all
Russell
the nerds?
T. Davies has mentioned that that's the thing you can do in interviews. He said if you wanted, you could watch episode 2 first.
Wow.
But he did say, but why would you?
To spoil it for the nerds.
To spoil it for other people.
Yeah.
What? You're not like that. I know you and you're not like that.
I mean, I will not be watching it at midnight. I'll probably just wait till the next day.
You're such a part-timer these days. Such a casual.
What am I doing at the weekend?
What are you doing Friday night?
What am I doing?
Come here, watch it with me. Have a few beers and watch it.
What am I doing? Oh, yeah, I've got a football social on Friday night. Yeah. I'll be like later, guys.
Where will you be at the? Where's the social based?
Don't know. South London somewhere.
Well, that's where I live. Pop over. Doctor Who booty call. Doctor Hootie call.
Well,
I'm serious. I'm serious.
We'll collaborate.
And listen. Okay, so there are 8 episodes. Six of them are written by Russell T. Davies.
Nice.
6 of the 8. How do you feel about that? Again, it's been a bit divisive. Some people are like, ugh, why have we got one guy writing 6 out of the 8 episodes? Other people are like, well, it's Russell T. Davies and we like him, so that's good. Other people have been like, well, actually, it's Doctor Who's really been really unusual in the fact it has such a wide team of writers, and usually a show is mainly written by one person. What are your thoughts?
I don't know how many showrunners wrote previous episodes, previous seasons of Doctor Who, to be honest. So nothing to compare.
For example, in Moffat's last season, series 10, he was sole writer on four of the 10 episodes.
4 of 10.
And he co-wrote another.
What about Chibnall?
Chibnall was a bit, had his hands in it a little bit more.
Okay.
But that was part, later on, that was partly pandemic-y.
Right.
So like
Flux,
he was credited on all 6, but that was because of the pandemic, really.
Right. And then what about early Russell stuff?
Early Russell, he did have more of a hand. So series 1,
yeah,
he wrote out of the 13, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 of the 13.
Yeah, then I feel
so
like
it kind of mirrors
quite...
that a little bit. It's almost like he's, you know, and he has said there'll be more writers on the second season.
Yeah, I think
so.
It's
maybe
trust.
He's just like, yeah, he's like setting it all up.
Yeah.
And then.
Because he's going to have like a really strong idea of how he wants to make it
exactly.
Look.
So he's kind of planning that out, and then other people can respond to.
Yeah, like set the precedent.
Yeah.
I think I'm fine with that. I mean, it would be nice to have like a bit of a more range of writers.
And people have complained that like it's a shame that for our series with the first like full-time Black Doctor there aren't any Black writers.
Yeah, I mean that's
which is a bit shitty.
Yeah, especially as you know, we'll be finding out more about him as a character, and it'd be nice if people could input into that. But
exactly, and especially because like Ruby's family are Black as well.
Yeah.
But I suppose like it, you know, Russell has said there'll be.
Okay.
There's Black writers on the second season.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see. It's like it's a bit of one of them, isn't it? It's like,
yeah.
It would be nice to have a more diverse group, and maybe if the series was longer,
mm-hmm.
than there would have been.
Yeah.
But he's just trying to maybe play it safe.
Yeah, and I feel like people who do write the other episodes, his, like, fingers are going to be in that episode so much that it's almost like...
It's going to have a really consistent tone. I mean, yeah. Even, and it was even like that in the first RTD era, like...
Yeah.
He rewrote people a lot, especially the less experienced people.
So maybe by season two, they could actually write their own episode quite confidently without having too much intervention because they kind of know what they're looking to achieve.
Well, I mean, the exception to this, of course, is the writer of episode three.
You're looking at me with a knowing look. I don't know who that is.
Stephen Moffat.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah.
I did actually see that one.
So that's interesting. I mean, it's the, you know, it's a unique situation in that, like, obviously Russell has come back as showrunner.
Yeah.
It's interesting to have, like, a showrunner come back to write, to play second fiddle and write an episode. But even during the first Russell era,
yeah,
Stephen was one of the writers he never
edited.
Because, well, obviously with edits, but he didn't rewrite and reshape
Stephen
Moffat's scripts because there's a level of trust there.
Safe pair of hands.
And I wonder whether it'll be... similar this time.
Do we know, I mean, we probably do, you probably do, what the episodes are called?
Yeah. Well, I was going to get your reactions to the titles in a minute.
Oh, okay, great.
But so the Stephen episode, I think the premise is that the Doctor stands on a landmine on an alien planet and then has to kind of sort everything out, but he's still standing on the landmine.
Right.
It's quite a high concept idea. Apparently, like... on, like, when Russell first got the gig to return, he, like, reached out to Stephen Moffat and said, like, you know, if you ever want to do another one.
Yeah.
And his initial reaction was like, oh, God, like, I've used all my good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's writing this show for years.
Yeah.
But then I think, this is what I read in Doctor Who magazine anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He was then like, oh, actually, I've had an idea.
Okay,
so that's
nice.
That's a good way for him to return, actually.
More
than like, oh, we're shoehorning him in.
It's
like he's had an idea that
he's
wants to
do. He's had an idea. And with Russell, has he said whether he was thinking about this for like years or whether...
In terms of coming back?
Yeah, or whether
I don't think he's spoken about that very much.
Okay. Because I kind of, as well with him writing a lot, get the idea that he was like, oh, if I could do it again...
Yeah.
I'd do this.
Well, I kind of want to tackle that in a minute. But yeah, I think probably he's not spoken about it in too much depth because it would involve kind of admitting that the show was...
He was undermining old Chibbers.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I don't think... I think probably he never thought he would return.
Yeah.
This was never the plan.
No.
But I think Doctor Who's an interesting one because, like, could you ever really run out of ideas for Doctor Who episodes? Because you can
probably
do anything
and
go anywhere. So if you're a writer with ideas,
it's
not that difficult to come up with a few more.
Mm-hmm.
The other non-Russell episode is written by, and we spoke about this last time, Kate Herron and Bryony Redman. Kate Herron was like the showrunner of Loki and wrote a bunch of Sex Education episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So they sound like a safe pair of hands as well.
Yeah. Do we know what they've written?
The only new names. I don't think we know much about their episode, actually.
Okay. Is it later?
It's later in the series. I don't think we've got... Because it's later in the series, it's not been previewed in Doctor Who magazine yet.
Right.
It'll be next month.
Okay.
So we don't know loads about that. Would you like to know the episode titles?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. I sort of know them off by heart, but I just want to check. Oh, God. How did I ever get laid?
Well, I might have heard of some of these.
Doctor Who series
on social
14.
Media.
Right. Episode 1, Space Babies.
I hate it.
There were talking babies in it.
Talking babies?
Talking babies.
I hate that.
Who are like manning a spaceship, I think.
Like... Human babies.
Human babies, yeah. Real life babies.
Like real...
Real babies. Not CGI. But like, I think they talk with CGI.
You think?
I've heard.
You're not sure?
No, as in like they make their mouths move with CGI.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Well, you can do that with a TikTok filter. But...
you don't like the idea of space babies?
I mean, okay, so it sounds like he's going for a very silly, like a
it's
continuation.
It's like a silly open. You know what? I'm going to go and get Doctor Who magazine and then maybe I could tell you some more about them. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please do. Are there images?
Yeah.
Talk to the listeners while I'm going.
Okay. Hi, listeners. Sorry for any verbal faux pas thus far. Please don't cancel me. You've got nothing to cancel. I don't have that much influence. Here she comes. She's returned. Is the cover the Beatles one?
Yeah.
See, I do know some things. Every time I think that it looks like Leonard from the Big Bang Theory. What's your opinion as a Beatles mega fan of the people they've cast as the Beatles?
I mean, they look fuck all like the Beatles. It's interesting. Like, I don't mind that they don't look like the Beatles. Like,
which one's supposed to be which? Let me see.
So
they all look like they're the same.
Yeah. So obviously the top left is John.
Is that obvious?
Well, because he's wearing the glasses.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're quite small.
And then this is Ringo, George and Paul.
He hasn't got Ringo's nose.
No. They don't look anything like the Beatles, but
no.
I trust that they've cast them for their acting chops rather than...
Yeah.
And maybe their singing chops.
Maybe musical ability, yeah.
Rather than their looks. Also, this cover's interesting. For those who've not seen it, it's sort of a recreation of the cover of the Beatles' second album, well, their second UK album. With the Beatles.
Yeah.
Couple of inaccurate things about it, actually. Firstly, the Beatles are smiling on this magazine cover.
Yeah.
Or at least three of them are smiling. And the With the Beatles cover was pioneering for the fact that the band weren't smiling on the cover.
Oh, there we go.
It's like the first shoot of like a band where they're not smiling.
What did they look like? I'm Googling.
Deadly serious. Also, Lennon here is wearing the glasses, as we just discussed.
Yeah.
And he didn't start wearing the glasses until about 1966, 67, which was, you know, a good 4 years after With the Beatles came out. So he wasn't wearing the glasses on the cover.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking now.
I think I'm not expecting these kinds of, anachronisms. Anachronisms?
I don't know.
In the show, because yeah. I think this is, you know, whoever the graphic designer is for Doctor Who magazine has made this from existing pictures of these actors.
Right.
So these photographs were not taken to be used in this way.
Right, I'm with you.
So
really, they've done quite a good job.
Really, they've done an excellent job. I really like it. Some people have been rude about this cover, but I think it looks good.
I thought it was cool.
Did you know that Millie Gibson's eyebrow slit?
Yeah.
Is it's not a fashion thing. It's from a scar.
No, I didn't know that.
How
cool.
Quite cool scar to have, actually. I'm sure she'd been self-conscious about it, so quite glib of me to say that, but I think
she could get it tattooed.
Scar. She could get it tattooed, but she's chosen not to. Space Babies. Right. Let's have a look. Page 14.
Space Babies.
Space Babies. All right. Do you want the in a nutshell summary?
Yeah. It better be nutshell, though.
Your Time Lord transporting, reality warping, dimension distorting, universe saving cosmic joyride awaits. Now, where to first? The Doctor asks Ruby to say the first numbers that come into her head, and soon they're hurtling off to the year 21,506 and a space station with a surprisingly fresh-faced crew. All aboard the baby farm. Ruby and the Doctor find a mysterious captain who's been waiting for them patiently. And then there's a small matter of the creature stalking the lower decks, who even terrifies the Doctor. Here comes the bogeyman.
Wait, so it's a baby farm, but the babies are also driving the ship?
I've not seen it. I've not seen it yet. It's not been on yet.
Fair.
But yeah, interesting that there's two episodes in a row that have prominently featured babies.
Oh, wow. There's loads of babies in that picture.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Apparently it was a nightmare to shoot.
Yeah, I bet.
Because they're really strict off about how long babies can be on
20
set.
Minutes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because I wanted to see if I could get it in my contract that I could work the same time as the baby.
They apparently had like a second unit just getting shots of the babies, and then they did a lot of the Doctor and Ruby stuff without the babies.
No fair. Richard Osman has a podcast where people ask questions about how TV works.
Right, I see.
I've never listened to the podcast.
Right, I was going
to
say, it doesn't really sound like it's up your street.
But I've seen a clip on TikTok where someone asks, where do they get all the babies from Call the Midwife and how does it work?
I see.
I always think it's really bad, though, in films when you see babies crying on cue and stuff. Because I'm like, do they just pinch the baby? Is that illegally allowed?
I don't know what they must
just,
do.
Like, flick
maybe they
him
just
on the forehead.
Wait for the baby to cry.
No, surely not.
Maybe they starve the baby.
I haven't got the time for that. I feel like they give them a little pinch. They definitely did back in the day.
Maybe they show the baby like some distressing AI-generated footage of like their parents being harmed in some way.
They wouldn't care. They're babies.
Okay, so that's Space Babies.
Okay.
Then we got The Devil's Court. This is episode 2.
Oh, that's the one with Jinx Monsoon?
This is one with the Beatles and Jinx Monsoon.
Oh, okay.
Do you want In a Nutshell?
Yeah, go on then.
If she could go anywhere in time and space, Ruby Sunday would choose London, 1963, to see the Beatles record their very first album. What's the name of it?
Don't know.
Please Please Me.
I actually just quickly think that that's the least believable thing I've ever heard in my life.
But she's a musician.
Yeah, but she's like how old?
Yeah, but she's in a rock. I was really into the Beatles when I was that age.
Really?
Sarah, yeah.
There's more exciting places you could go to. It's like Woodstock.
I'd have visited late Beatles, to be fair. I'd have gone like post LSD Beatles, not pre LSD Beatles. But anyway.
Okay, fair enough.
The Beatles. Why have I never done that before? Wonders the Doctor. He's about to find out. At EMI Studios on Abbey Road, the most successful pop group of the 20th century is in trouble. What does a maleficent god, played by Jinx Monsoon, want with Liverpool's finest foursome? What ancient power lies within the Devil's Court? And why does John Lennon wake up crying? So.
Right, sounds rubbish to be honest.
What? Really?
I just like... Yeah.
The thing I touched on earlier was the fact that Russell T Davies has been open about the fact that there's no Beatles music in this. Because it is notoriously difficult to get the rights to the music of the Beatles. Like, no one can ever use it. And he said he knew before he even started developing the episode that it would be an impossibility.
Right.
So he decided to build the story from that. You know, he decided to use the fact that he couldn't use the music as a basis for
right,
the story.
Right, right.
So clearly, you know, Jinx Monsoon's going to steal their music or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it could go either way. As a Beatles fan, I'm kind of excited. On the other hand, I know I'm going to be distracted by the inevitable inaccuracies.
Yeah.
Because actually, yeah, it's saying 1963, and yet there's Lennon in the glasses, which he did not wear until later in his career.
It's because he spent too much time on his iPad playing Minecraft.
Although they have
not,
successfully...
Not listening to me.
They've successfully depicted McCartney as a lefty.
There we go.
I mean, the music nerds are going to have a fucking field day, because I bet all of the equipment they've used in the studio is completely anachronistic. But yeah, I'm excited to see that. I think it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting they couldn't use the music, because I know it's notoriously difficult, but also all the Beatles stuff's on Disney.
Is that picture of Shooty playing the guitar on the other page?
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah, kind of exciting. I was a bit surprised that I was half expecting them to get McCartney on board and give him a cameo.
Wow.
But apparently that's not happening.
Is did I hear correctly that what's her name? Blind date woman.
Cilla Black.
Is in this episode.
Well, she died some years ago.
No, but depicted in this episode.
Oh, that's certainly possible, because she was friends with the Beatles early
in
her career. They should get Sheridan Smith to play her again.
I saw that she was in some kind of credits.
Oh, really?
Someone
okay,
was sharing online.
I didn't. That's something that you've seen that I haven't.
There we go. That really tells you a bit about my Twitter. that I saw, I shit you not, about 150 different reactions to Cilla Black, people sharing that. She's a journalist, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I recognise the fellow who plays John Lennon.
Yes, me too. I feel like I've seen him in something else before.
I'm going to look him up.
Can I tell you about the third episode?
Yeah. He looks a lot more handsome in his IMDb picture.
What's he been in?
Broadchurch.
There you
go. 7 episodes.
Is that where you know him from?
Riverdale. That's definitely where I know him from.
Riverdale.
Plays a character called Chad Gecko.
Shut up.
He's also in Legend.
What, the Tom Hardy Craig Wednesday?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's most recently been in, however.
I was talking about the Craig Twins a couple of days ago. We were saying that if they were alive today, they'd definitely have a podcast. As in, like, if they were old men.
They'd
have a, like, our life of crime podcast.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe he's been in Riverdale. I will be rewatching.
All right. And then episode 3 has a short summary. It just says, on an alien battlefield. So this is the Moffat one.
Because this is the one, like, when the people that have been to the premiere have seen episodes 1 and 2, right?
Yeah, this is the one they haven't seen.
Right.
On an alien battlefield, the Doctor must hold his nerve or everybody dies.
Dun dun dun.
That's it.
And this is the one where he stepped on the landmine.
It is, yeah. This is the Stephen Moffat one.
Have we got any imagery?
Yeah.
Oh, that one. Okay, nice.
Okay, and I can tell you the names of the others, but I can't give you much information about them.
Okay.
All right. So we've got 73 Yards by Russell T. Davies.
Okay.
Dot and Bubble by Russell T. Davies.
Right. Also not giving me anything.
I think that is referring to the little typing.
The three dots and the bubble. Mm. Really? Mm-hmm. That was what I was thinking, and then I was like, surely not.
Yeah, I think it's like a Black Mirror-y type one.
Oh.
Rogue by Kate Herron and Bryony Redman.
Okay.
I think that might be the Regency one with Jonathan Groff in it.
Great. I'm buzzing.
The Legend of Ruby Sunday by Russell T. Davies.
Hate.
Why do you hate that?
It's just naff, isn't
it? Oh, so this is a two-parter. Legend of Ruby Sunday, followed by Empire of Death.
Blimey.
So those are the two we know the least about.
Okay.
But the Legend of Ruby... That implies she's got some kind of cosmic significance, doesn't
it? This is going to be the two old women coming back.
Do you think?
Sorry, older women.
The two old hags from the Christmas one, they're coming back.
No offence, man.
Kind of exciting... I like Boom. I think that's probably my favourite title.
Yeah, it's strong, isn't it?
It's a strong title, that one.
It's probably the one, apart from Space Babies, that will stick most in my mind. Space Babies, I mean, it does what it says on the tin, doesn't it?
It does a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, logged.
It
but
feels
it's like
it will have been a working title and they've gone, yeah, why don't we just call it Space Babies? It's like dinosaurs in a spaceship. Like,
yeah, job done.
Very funny.
Whereas Boom... It's Blink, isn't it? You know, the like...
Oh, true, it is
Dalek,
like Blink.
Like the one word.
Yeah.
Yeah, could be iconic.
Rosa.
Shut up. Get in the bin.
Do you remember when we found those top trumps at yours? And
yeah.
It was when I was living with you, I think.
Yeah.
And there were two top trumps and they had... Rosa Parks was on the cards. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And she had a lower courage rating than the Doctor.
Yeah.
Actual Rosa Parks.
So offensive.
And she had the same, what was it? Like, the same anger or same evil rating as the Dalek? It was mad. It was totally mad. How they got away with it, I do not know.
Dear. I feel like that was a rush job for whoever approved that one. They were like, we got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. Okay, a couple of extra points before we finish it off. Okay, so...
Okay.
We've spoken about the new Sonic screwdriver before.
Yes, the Sky Remote.
The Sky Remote screwdriver.
Bit plastic.
He was interviewed about it, Russell was.
Yeah.
And he said something really weird, which was that he felt like the sonic screwdriver, as it existed before, looked too much like a gun. And he thought it was a bad example for children. So they've made it look less like a gun. It doesn't look like a gun.
Pardon?
So I don't know what the hell he's talking about. I think...
he's been got by the woke mob.
I think the real reason was that it looked like a dildo. But and that's why he wanted to move. You know, he's thinking, I've got my gay doctor.
Yeah.
I don't want
this to
be like... I don't want there to be homophobic memes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About where he might stick his sonic screwdriver.
Yeah. Do you think...
The thing is, Russell T. Davies can't say that to the press.
No.
So he's come up with this flimsy thing about it looking like a gun.
I do see that. I also... I kind of see his point in the way the other ones are used by pointing, right?
Yeah.
And this one's used by, like, in the palm of your hand,
I suppose,
maybe?
It's more like a magic wand than a gun, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's not quite... Yeah, I feel like you've hit the nail on the head there with that one.
Because also, the previous Sonic Whittaker's one...
Oh, my God.
...looked so much like a sex toy.
Yeah. I've definitely seen people from the YouTube days of old advertising those on Instagram.
Yeah, there's a massive wave of like
sex
toy adverts on Instagram right now.
Yeah.
And like some quite big people.
Oh, yeah.
Like Mae Martin was advertising sex toys on Instagram.
Charlie McDonald
was advertising. Yeah. Well, I've fallen out with Charlie McDonald because she's not replied to my emails about being on this.
It's really rude, Charlie.
Yeah, like...
Come
really?
On. Yeah.
Where were we? I've lost track.
You were talking about the gun.
Sex toy. I think we've covered that. there's the news about Virata Sethu appearing in the second season.
Who? Virata
Sethu.
Oh, yes. The new person.
She'll be the new companion.
Yeah.
How do we feel about that? How do we feel about the fact that's being... announced before the first season's even aired?
I think it's quite rude to Wasser Chops Millie.
Well, she's going
to
be in the second season too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think that's kind of how we felt when they were like, oh, we can't introduce Shooty without David Tennant kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of like, oh, well, we want a non-white companion as well, but we don't want people to be funny about it, so we'll do...
We'll wait until the second season.
Yeah. And it's a bit weird. Yeah.
I hadn't really thought about the fact she wasn't white. No, I genuinely hadn't thought about the fact she wasn't white. But yes, I suppose that's true.
Well, you sort of, like, not to say woke three times on this podcast today, but we saw all the Dr. Woke things. And, like, people are insane and they do genuinely think that the BBC are trying to erase white people from Great Britain.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a tweet by someone like when she was announced where it's like Dr. Woke.
Yeah, like,
and my friend Harrison, who was on this podcast a little while back, like quote tweeted it and said like, does woke now just mean having black people, like people of colour on the television? But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's quite exciting. Are they filming soon? Is that the reason?
They've already filmed loads of it.
Do you think...
So people knew it way before it was announced anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it's just to like make it a bit more official so that people...
I think they wanted to announce it to show that Millie was sticking around because people have thought that she'd been sacked in favour of...
Oh, I see.
I've seen her... You don't like Star Wars really, do you?
I'm not a massive...
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of it.
Have you watched Andor?
No.
She's in... Andor's really good. I'd recommend it, but she's in that.
No, it is on my list, but
she's
it's
actually
not high on my
in
list.
That. She's in a romance with a character played by Faye Marseille, who was in Doctor Who as well as Shona in Last Christmas.
Shona.
She was like the sort of would-be companion character who worked on the space station in Last Christmas.
What is Last Christmas?
It's the one with Santa Claus and the face crabs.
And the what?
And the crabs that go on your face. It's a Peter Capaldi
what?
Christmas one.
Oh, that's what I've wiped it from my brain.
It's Peter Capaldi Christmas one. What? Nick Frost plays Santa Claus in it.
I do vaguely remember that.
You vaguely remember that?
Well, there was
one You're with, impossible.
There was one with Greg Davies as well.
Yeah, that was the following year.
I mean, they all sort of blur into one.
Those two stories couldn't be more different.
Wasn't Matt Lucas in that one as well?
Matt Lucas was in the Greg Davies one, yeah.
Okay, Last Christmas.
God, it's like talking to a normo hanging out with you these days.
Honestly, the Peter Capaldi...
Next week, I'm going to get people on who are, like, not Doctor Who fans.
It'll be one and the same.
And it'll feel the same.
Shona Vemarzi. God.
Everyone listening knows who this is.
I don't. They're all bored now. As well. Oh, she's in Fresh Meat.
She's great. Anyway, yeah, in Andor, she's in a romance with Virata Sethu, who's the new companion.
Oh.
Anyway.
That's exciting. Little sci-fi link.
Okay, a little bit of negative Nelly to finish us off then.
Oh, nice.
Got a bit of a question for you. And I've got a question for you based on a... In fact, I'm going to show you the clip because I don't think you'll have seen it.
That's rude.
Why
have you not talked about the Match of the Day clip?
We've not spoken about Match of the Day.
Something I did see organically before most people.
Right, why don't you talk about that then while I find this clip?
I just thought it was quite cool.
Can you explain what it was? Because people won't know. It was really weird. You showed it me earlier. It was so weird.
Yeah, it was quite odd.
Who has come up with that?
Was definitely someone who watches Match of the Day. Because, like...
You think?
Ian Wright's They Deserve Their Flowers is, like, a classic catchphrase for him.
Oh, really?
That's, like, if someone's been, like, giving it 100 the whole season, but, like, no one's been talking about it.
Yeah, it felt like more like it was made by someone who watched Match of the Day than made by someone who watches Doctor Who.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It was, like, a weird, like, little Easter egg at the start of Match of the Day on Saturday.
Yeah, but it didn't really seem to... It didn't successfully advertise Doctor Who, I don't feel.
I feel like it made me very excited for, like, 30 seconds, because I was like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah. And Lineker was, like, a cyborg.
Yeah, yeah.
Ian and Wright was a hologram.
And then he...
And then Tutu Gotwell shows up.
He referenced it at the start of the episode of Match of the Day as well. He's, like, coming to you in a more organic form or something like that. Like, referencing the fact he'd just been a cyborg.
That's so weird.
Something strange.
Nothing will ever be as weird as the Chibnall...
No, that was odd.
Match of the Day. Yeah, was that match there? Was it like during a World Cup match, maybe?
I don't know.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
And it was like all the characters sitting in the chippy.
Yeah.
So deeply odd. Okay, I'm going to show you the clip.
Again, I feel like somebody there had the idea. They were like, stunning. We've got some overspend.
Yeah.
We'll just make some up. We'll just do
any old shit. This is, oh Jesus Christ, this is a preview clip from the first episode, Space Babies.
Where's this from?
This is released by the BBC.
Where?
YouTube.
Who's watching YouTube? Apart from my dad, he had over 700...
Are you not watching YouTube?
No.
You don't go on YouTube every day?
No. How are people getting the information about this? Was it a
tweet? Well, this will be on TikTok too, or, you know.
It wasn't on TikTok.
It was on Instagram.
Tell you that for nothing.
For sure.
Okay.
It's on YouTube. Do you not go on YouTube?
No.
I'm on YouTube all the time. I'm always watching my ASMR on there. And
that's what TikTok's for.
Sometimes I will. No, because what you want with ASMR is you want an hour.
Oh, I see.
So you can turn it on and fall asleep. You don't want ASMR shorts.
I see.
Also, I like to watch, like... video essays on YouTube.
I hate that.
Okay.
The quality of image on your TV screen is very high.
Good telly. Belongs to me, that telly, you know.
Making that very clear.
Is that personally mine? It's not the flats, it's mine. Okay. I also own a microwave that's over there. That's out of character, isn't it?
Yeah, that's just very off brand.
Okay, let's have a look at this then.
Okay.
Oh, another Mafferty reference there. Okay, what are your first thoughts there?
I hate things that are too earnest.
It was quite earnest. Yeah. So what I was going to say about it was that it really, really reminds me of the Eccleston episode, The End of the World. Just the way that it looks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The way that it feels, the way they're talking.
The little babies in the jars, big fat no from me.
Right.
Gross.
Okay.
How's but she distracted from that?
I guess what I'm wondering is, I've got this little niggling worry in the back of my mind.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
like, are we trying to recreate a moment here?
Yeah, are we doing...
Are we trying too hard to recreate exactly what we had in 2005?
The new Star Wars versus the original Star Wars.
Exactly.
It's the same thing.
It's like it's the same thing, but
it's slightly different.
For 2020.
Yeah, yeah,
2024. Because that's really what I don't want. And it's really not what I expected either. I expected... And I'm still expecting Russell to be like... Oh no, there's nothing like what I did before. I'm going to do something totally different. And there are things to suggest that that's where he's going.
Yeah.
But this particular clip was a little bit like, oh.
I also felt the weird arm thing he did to show the language in its original form. Did they just think people are dumb now? Like, yeah, we get the concept. You didn't have to show it to me. Also, what is that? He waves his arm in front of your face and you see in a different language. What's that about?
Yeah, that is a bit strange. I didn't really think about that.
No, these are the things that really bother me.
I was thinking in that moment more about his bicep, to be honest.
Phil.
This is going to be distracting, isn't it, actually? I'm going to have to watch again purely to catch up on the plot because I've been thirsty.
You've been whoa.
Yeah, I've been at the second episode with that bum.
I was ooh, thinking...
matron.
I was actually thinking... I would never wear a sort of knitted t-shirt because I'd sweat too much.
Oh, me neither. I'm such a sweaty girl.
Yeah.
I've got, I would say 50% sweatier in the last 12 months than I've ever been before in my life.
No, I'd agree with you.
I don't know where it's come from. I don't know if it's my hormones. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's just that I put weight on, but I'm way sweatier than I used to be.
Listeners, get in touch. Are you sweatier as well? Let us know.
So that's that one. Do you want to watch the other clip as well?
There's another one.
There's another one.
Is the other one a bit more fun?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. It's all less right. Earnest.
Thank God.
All right.
You know how I feel about Ernest.
I do.
Hemingway.
There we go.
Who's this little? Is it this woman? The lizard woman?
Yeah.
It's Lizard Ruby.
Shh. Sorry. Just watch it. Right, I'm going to pause it. You just gave me a look. Do you think that dinosaur's bad?
Yeah, big time.
Do you?
Big time.
You're so critical of CGI.
I think
it looks good, that dinosaur.
I think someone who works in that kind of area at my work could whip up something like that.
Ugh.
Sorry, I think it's rubbish.
I'll tell you what sticks out like a sore thumb to me here, and I said this to my flatmate last night, and she... looked at me like I needed help.
Correct.
The Whittaker TARDIS exterior, right, which they've retained from her era. And obviously was in the Tenant ones too, but it's really like unusual for them to bring something visual from a previous era like that. I mean, clearly they just thought if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
But to a weirdo like me, that I'm looking at that and it's jumping at me like a sore thumb.
No, that's fair. What episode is this?
This is the first one, Space Babies again.
Space Babies again?
Yeah.
So they thought, oh, we'll do a bit of dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll piss off to baby spaceship.
Yeah.
God, that Disney money.
Let's keep going.
It's changed them.
North America. You're not looking impressed now either.
Why?
Well, look, I don't presume to know everything about the storyline of the episode. What's your beef? What's your beef?
It just seems like a waste of money.
You're worried about where your license fee is going, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
But Doctor Who's not paid for by the license fee anyway.
Doctor Woke.
It's pretty much paid for by the commercial arm of the BBC.
BBC Studios.
BBC Studios, correct, yeah. That was kind of everything I had to cover. I feel like we've ended on a bit of a dour note.
That was just...
with you being unimpressed by the two new exciting clips.
Some say exciting, some say give me nothing.
Oh my God. Are you excited for Saturday though?
Yeah. I'm excited to see them in their full extent. A little bit.
Why? I haven't seen that.
I don't. Yeah.
Have I put you off it?
A little bit.
Okay.
Again, I just like, yeah, I can see the, like, you've had a funny idea for a joke.
Yeah.
And then you've gone, yeah, I'm going to make that. And it's going to cost loads of money. And it's going
to
add...
You don't need to worry your little head about the money that it's
potentially
cost.
Potentially nothing. How long did it take her to put all that makeup on?
You think they should have put more money into the dinosaur?
Yeah. Big time. Big time. Get them Jurassic Park people on that. Come
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Well, the Jurassic Park dinosaurs look shit now. They look better in the 90s.
No, the new ones. Jurassic World.
Yeah, they look shit compared to the ones from the 90s.
How dare you? They look real.
Do you stop it. No, they don't.
Get the one from the Natural History Museum that they put the jumper on at Christmas.
Oh, the one that moves around?
Yeah.
I love that. I took my sister to the Natural History Museum, and then later in the same year, I took my brother. My brother is much younger than my sister. 5 years younger. They're both children, though.
You made an error. He was scared.
My sister was terrified.
Right.
She's a teenager.
Yeah.
My brother was, like, just interested in it.
This is like when I showed my stepbrother The Nightmare Before Christmas when he was, like, 10, and he was absolutely terrified. He was like, turn it off. I hate it. I hate it. It's really creepy. Turn it off. Turn it off. He didn't like it.
I showed my sister the first episode of Doctor Who Series 1.
Yeah.
With the Autons in it.
That is scary, though, because that's real.
When she was 4.
No, come on.
And my mum was a bit annoyed at me because my sister, like, was then petrified every time she walked past Marks and Spencer's shopfront.
That's legit.
I just thought, I was watching Doctor Who when I was 4.
When you were 4?
Yeah, I was watching Classic Who, I think.
Yeah, but that was rubbish. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like...
You're going to get me in trouble one of these days on this podcast.
No, but like, you weren't looking at that and thinking, oh no, I'm going to get got by, like, that piece of... that obvious man in a net who's
they have Autons in that as well.
Yeah, but that it's not the same, is it? It's not the same.
I'll tell you what I was watching at age 3. My first ever memory is being 3 years old and going to watch The Phantom Menace at the cinema. Star Wars The Phantom Menace. That are scary moments.
Your parents were taking you to the cinema at age 3?
My father did, yeah. It was not the first time either. I remember him taking me to see Mulan.
What, and you were just...
And I walked out halfway through because I was bored.
Wow.
And then Star Wars was the first film that I, like, sat through the cinema.
Wow.
My first memory, I remember Darth Maul splitting in two. It's really, really made an impression on me. I was like nearly 4.
Yeah, still, that's really... Yeah, I feel like I didn't go to the cinema until I was, like, 6 or 7.
Yeah, you know what my dad's like?
Yeah.
You know,
that
he
is
was making
very
me mixtapes when I was that kind of age as well.
On a mini disc.
Not on a mini disc, on a cassette tape.
It's off brand.
I can think of, still remember the song. I won't say the name of the mixtape because it had my dead name in it.
Okay.
Well, it was like Dead Name's Dad's Discs.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
and the. That they had such songs on it as Walking on the Moon by the Police.
Right, it's quite a high concept.
Don't Worry Be Happy by Bob McFerrin.
Okay, yeah. But I feel like that's baby appropriate.
That is baby appropriate. Mercedes Benz by Janis Joplin.
What a banger.
Do you know that one?
Yeah.
I used to call it the Muncha Barney song. Because it sounds like she's saying, oh Lord, Muncha Barney. What else was on there? There was other stuff. Oh, maybe Marrakesh Express by Crosby, Stills and Nash.
That's a strange choice.
Anyway.
Wow.
We've sort of fizzled out. That's the end of Galactic Yo-Yo this week. Next week, it's going to be a double bill. We're going to get for episode 1, Space Babies. Your guests will be my non-Doctor Who fan friends, my flatmate Hannah, and my friend Georgie. Neither of whom have ever appeared on this podcast before, or indeed any podcast, I think. So I'm excited to have them on. I'm excited to hear their reactions because they're both people who's, you know, Hannah and I talk about it. We're in the house together all the time. We talk about anything, everything. They're both people whose opinions I really respect, right? And I respect Hannah's opinion. And Georgie has worked in television and films, like has that kind of angle.
Nice.
So I'm excited for that. Episode 2, The Devil's Chord.
I'm going to be debriefing with a Beatles fan.
Wow.
Because of the nature of the episode. Peter Rugman.
Yeah.
Who listeners will know as the Nonstick Pans on Instagram and TikTok.
I like that you were like, I can't chew off a normal person's ear about the Beatles. You've got to get a Beatles fan.
Well, I just thought it was... He was someone I wanted to get on the podcast anyway.
Nice.
Because I could tell from his content that he was a Doctor Who fan. And then I emailed him some time ago, but, you know, we've been going back and forth trying to arrange it. And by the time, it was, you know, he was available, it was like the series. And I thought, you know what? It's a perfect opportunity to get a Beatles fan on. But that's next week.
Nice. I can't wait to hear Georgie's opinions on the amount of money that one scene blew. As someone who worked in TV and film.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See you all very soon. Bye, 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 bye.